5:14 tonight. Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Father, tonight I thoroughly enjoyed the missionary tonight, Brother Shields. Thank you, Lord, for what he taught us men tonight. And thank you, Lord, for the good presentation. And Lord, thank you for the atmosphere of missions. And Lord, that's been established by this pastor in years gone by and being reestablished this week. Lord, it's not every week you know that we're in a church like this. And I feel so unworthy. Father, heaven's power again in 2010. Lord, do for me tonight that which I cannot do for myself. And Lord, I need you tonight. That's my greatest need. I need your touch tonight. And Father, help my speech to be clear and be precise. And help us tonight to be helpful to this church, this pastor, these people. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I preached on the subject, "Would somebody please pass the salt?" And tonight, I want to preach on the subject, "Please don't cut out the light." These verses, again tonight, is the Sermon on the Mount. Our Lord's, I classify as our Lord's new convert class. It's amazing to me, these new converts are learning simple, everyday lessons. And I'm glad that he does it so people like me can understand. My wife married me for my brain. It's them little things in marriage that count. Amen. But please tonight, do not cut out the light. And we find here in verse number 14, again, there is the personal light. And then again, there is the present tense light. It's found in the present tense form. And once again, we see that we need to be recognizing what we're doing for the Lord right now. What are we doing for Christ? What is the Lord doing in our hearts, getting us ready for our faith promise cards and making those commitments unto the Lord? I certainly do praise the Lord each day for what faith promise has meant to my wife and I. And appreciated how pastors and missionaries have instructed us this biblical concept, this biblical principle of doing all that we can through the local church. Now, the tithe goes to the church, but faith promise goes through the local church. It doesn't bankrupt the church. An old feller one time, faith promise given, it's going to bankrupt our church. No, it will not. It will be a blessing to the church. And I said it this morning, if we'll take care of God's business over yonder, I've seen the Lord take care of his business also in his local church. This wasn't in the notes tonight, but I feel compelled to say it. Some years ago at the church where I was associate pastor, it was needful for us to go through a building program. Our main part, like you've got right here, was filled to capacity. Glad the fire marshal hadn't made a trip by lately. But we needed to add wings on. And when it was all priced and everything, and it was so intimate to get it done, we, by faith, went ahead and had the builders come in and do it. And our pastor was a man that did not like to borrow money. But because of the urgency of needing the wings, we had to borrow $250,000. Now, this is a pastor that had been at the church at that time close to 18 years. I came in the office one morning to get my long list of things for that day. And when I went in there, I could sense that Pastor Barker had been with the Lord that morning in prayer. You know, you can just sense that when you're around people that you work with. And Pastor Barker looked at me and he said, "Sit down, Brother Maynard, I want to share my heart with you today." He said, "Brother Maynard, I really believe that if we're going to get out of debt, we're going to give our way out of debt." He said, "I've been praying. I've been asking the Lord in my secret place, how can we do this, Lord?" And he said he'd come out of that secret place, confirmed in his heart that by taking on missionaries, the church could give its way out of debt. Now again, ladies and gentlemen, he'd been there right many years. A new pastor couldn't walk into a new pastorate and do that. But he had a business meeting in the next service. He had met with the leadership of the church. The leadership had 100% confidence in their pastor because they knew that he walked with God. And working with him, I knew that he walked with God. And that night, Turner's Creek Baptist Church took on 30 missionaries for the glory of God. And you can look at me tonight and say, that fella's brains done rolled out of his head. But in 6 months' time, Turner's Creek Baptist Church was burning a building note. And do you realize that night that when the fire, the flame, the light was burning out that net, that note, that it was the light of the gospel actually that had burnt that note? Please, ladies and gentlemen, please let me urge you tonight, please do not cut out the light of the gospel. Jesus tells us here that let your light so shine before men that you may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. When we're sending out the light of the gospel, number one, we're sending out a light recreation. When this world was created, it was without form and without void. And all of a sudden, God said, let there be light. That which was once darkness now has become light. And ladies and gentlemen, every time that a sinner hears the gospel and receives Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, a life that has been full of darkness has now become light recreation. We sung about it this morning, the blessed, or tonight. You have heard the Macedonian call today, send the light. It's light creation. Charles Keenan said in his book, Thinking Outside of the Box, that still there's over 50% of this world that has never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. Some years ago, Miss Maynard and I was traveling to the West, and we stopped in St. Louis to watch a baseball game. I like baseball. And even in the parking deck there was a man there that was directing us where to go to park the car and everything. And I handed him a gospel tract. And on the front of the tract it said, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And he looked at the tract and he scratched his head and he said, what team does this fella play for? He was serious. I said, sir, Jesus Christ? You've never heard of Jesus Christ? He said, oh, I'm sorry. What TV program does he come on? I said, sir, you mean to tell me that you never heard that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life? For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He said, no, sir. And I was able to take moments to witness to him. But, of course, he was on the job and his boss was, you know, looking at him like this. But we left the gospel track with him. A man, even in America, that has never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it's light recreation. Number two tonight, I want you to notice light personification. We're not presenting the Baptist to the world. We're not presenting a denomination to the world. We're not even presenting a theory to the world. We're presenting him to the world. Three times in the Gospel of John, he talks about how I am the light of the world. And it's pictured in so many ways. The light and the color white are so synonymous. And On Transfiguration, he was pictured as being white and glistering, and Matthew's account says, and he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun. In him was light, and in him is no darkness at all. Light personification. When we go door knocking in the South, being so saturated with religion, of course you knock on a door if we're visiting for our home church, and we'll knock on a door and I'll say, I'm David, this is Brita Maynard, we're from Calvary Baptist King, Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, and we just come by to visit you for a minute and tell you about Christ. And they'll say, that, oh, you didn't come by to tell us about the Baptists. No, we don't tell folk about the Baptists. The Lord will take care of that later, amen. But we're coming and telling the world about Christ. By the way, there are house lights. At my home, I have lights on the inside of my house. I have lights on the outside of my house. Should I not be bearing a gospel light in my home so that my neighborhood can tell that there are real Christians that live at our house? Every time we travel through a city, we see street lights. Every place of business has lights. Young folks at school this week, there will be school lights. If you enjoy athletics like I do, when you go to a stadium or you go to an arena somewhere, there are lights there. Now, there's no place you can go in a metropolis where you will not find lights. How about at the restaurant? Boy, I've seen some folk along the way lose their testimony at a restaurant. Some time ago, my wife and I was trying to witness to a waitress. And I asked her, this was in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, just trying to strike up a little conversation with her. And I said, how long have you been a waitress? She said, I've been a waitress now about 3 years. I'm working my way through college. And I said this, well, what are the hardest people to wait on? And without even batting an eye, she said, it's those people that's just got out of church on Sunday. They'll fuss about the food, they'll fuss about the service, and then they'll stop and say the blessing. Sounds like some folk that's letting their light not shine. Please, please, ladies and gentlemen, let's not cut out the light. Every day we must recognize that we are ambassadors for Him. So there's light recreation. Number two tonight, there's light personification. Number three tonight, there's light identification. I like this one. Identification. And by the way, the power of light has more power than darkness. Greater is he that liveth within me than he that liveth in the world. How do you know that? Because this is a lighted room tonight, and when a dark object came in, it did not supersede the light. But if you're in a room of darkness, when the light cuts on, the light dissipates the darkness. So light identifies. Now, the missionaries tonight will get a chuckle out of this. As you travel from time to time, and we travel most every week of the year, we always have to leave on a nightlight at the house or where we're at. If we don't, somebody's going to get up in the middle of the night and forget where they are. And there's been a time or two in a motel room or a prophet's room, I'd get up in the middle of the night for a minute and just smash my nose against the wall. Because light identifies. I mean, the light that's on tonight identifies the flags. It identifies the piano. It identifies the instruments. It identifies the pews. It identifies every object that's in the building. Well, may you and I realize tonight that we are the identity of Christ. Light identification. We are identified as children of light. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, in verse number 8, to walk as children of light. Let us put on the armor of light. And an armor is something that's worn on the outside. Light identifies change. Light identifies compassion. 1 John chapter 2, verse 8, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light. Light identifies Christ's likeness. The Bible says in the book of Philippians chapter 2 and in verse number 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Again, that's Philippians 2, 15. On your job tomorrow to work, there'll have to be some lights cut on. Could I say probably the greatest local mission field that there is your place of employment. You are a representative, first of all and foremost of all, of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll never forget this. My dad, he went to heaven when I was 17 years old. But as I was getting older, Daddy would say, son, one of these days you're going to leave home. And when you leave home, first of all, you're going to represent your Savior. He said, number two, son, you're going to represent your family, and you're going to be representing the Maynard name. He said, number three, son, you're going to be representing the local church that you are a member of. But the thing that convicts me more than anything else, whether we're in the States or out of the States or in New York, Pennsylvania, in the South, wherever, from coast to coast, border to border, where God allows us to go, going to Spain, next month, we are a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. Light identification. They're reminded tonight in Matthew chapter number 5 that the verses leading up to our text tonight are the wonderful Beatitudes. We identify Him in our verses here tonight. We identify Him in times when we mourn, because we identify Him because we know that He is our comfort. To go back to the first one, we also identify Him when we have a poor spirit. We identify Him as being meek. We identify Him when we hunger and thirst for righteousness, because we know that the Lord's going to fill us. We identify Him as we show mercy, because we obtain mercy. But most of all, look at verse 8 and 9, that we identify Him by being pure in heart. Boy, this verse number 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. How much we ought to be peacemakers. Because that does identify Christ in us. I get asked this all the time. Preacher, that person done us wrong. Should I forgive them, whether they ever ask for forgiveness or not? They've done me wrong. I said, absolutely. Because that's Christ's likeness. When Christ was crucified on Calvary's cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The world out there, for the most part, did not ever ask for His forgiveness. But He sure was offering it to the world. Oh. Thank the Lord tonight for the light. Light recreation. Light personification. Light identification. Then also tonight we notice this, and this is where we really want to be tonight. There is light evangelization. These missionaries are going to places where the light has It has never been exposed. That's true missions. Again, going to the regions beyond. Light evangelization. The book of Acts is outlined. The major verse, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and even to the uttermost parts of the earth. And Acts is outlined that way. The gospel goes to Jerusalem, chapter 1 through 7. Judea, Samaria, Acts 3, 12. And then there's Paul. Paul and Barnabas sent out of the church at Antioch as missionaries, Acts 13 and beyond. And notice what Acts 13, verse 47 says. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light to the Gentiles. The Bible also says the people which sat in darkness saw great light. To them that sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Light evangelization. During the ministry, there's an associate pastor. We had missions meetings like this every year. Sometimes Pastor Barker would even call it a missions revival. And I remember one particular meeting that God was working in hearts and the Lord was calling people out of the church. I'm thinking about the Andersons that spent years in Peru. And in that, in one service, I believe it was the next to the last service, our oldest son went to the altar to pray. And you know, as a parent, I really wondered what the Lord was doing in his heart. We've always tried to have missionaries in our home so we can just sit down in one-on-one and glean truth from them. And just always the missionary cards, boy, don't take those lightly. Put them on a board like I have in my office. And then, as the brother said tonight, yes, put them on the refrigerator. Amen. And have them there so you can remain focused on them. Put their names and fields in a prayer journal so you'll be reminded to pray for them. I thought maybe Clayton was just going to the altar that night to pray for a missionary. Clayton was 17 years old, junior in the Christian school of our home church. That night when we got home to have devotions, I said, Clayton, what did God do for you tonight? He said, I guess, Mom and Daddy, I guess you probably thought that the Lord called me to be a missionary tonight to send the light. And by the way, later on, the Lord did call him into the ministry. And the Lord did call him out west to work in struggling churches. He's a youth pastor now in Buffalo, Wyoming. But Clayton said something that I will never forget, and I know Mama won't either. He said, I was sitting there in my pew tonight thinking this. Somebody's got to send the light. But I went to the altar tonight to ask God to show me how I can help pay the light bill. And from that time forth, God has blessed him like he's blessed others to see that it's not only the missionaries going to the field sending the light, but it's churches just like this helping to pay the light bill. Let me go one step further with this. My mother, oh, you don't love Mama. She's so precious. Boy, she could pray. My mother had a hobby. My mother loved lighthouses. And just about every summer, when it come vacation time, when Dad was alive, Daddy'd say, Vera, where you want to go? She'd want to go somewhere to see another lighthouse that she'd read about in a book. At one time, ladies and gentlemen, at one time, I'm talking about the West Coast, the Gulf Coast, and the East Coast, there was over 900 300 lighthouses strategically built along the coastlines. They were built strategically 90 miles apart because each lighthouse could shine a light for 45 miles. Now, I realize technology has changed, but presently in the United States of America, there's less than 100. And every time that a lighthouse was torn down, you done got it figured out. There became a place where there was no light. And I read this just recently, that the reason that lighthouses were torn down is because there wasn't any funding available anymore to keep the lighthouse there. The main reason that missionaries have to come off the field, and there are other personal reasons, is because churches are not funding missionaries like they used to. I want you to listen to the preacher now. I know we're in a economically hard time in America. But it's time that we learn to live by faith. It's time that we learn how to believe God. It's time for us to learn how to tighten our belt, believe God, and maybe cut back in other areas. But please don't drop the missionaries. Because every time you do, you're cutting out the light. Maybe these days the Lord would grace us, not because of me. I am so unworthy to be here. But maybe we could really grasp this in our soul and really believe God and have at least 75 cards and even beyond that and see God be able to do his greatest work through us because we don't want to do anything to cut out the light. That same missions meeting that Clayton made his commitment, I understand also that there was a little boy on the altar named Brent Shore on the other side of the altar. So the year went on. You know, I don't know how it is here, but the church there, when you get down to the end of the year for tax purposes, each family was given a record of what they'd given through tithes and offers and faith promise that year. Well, when Brent Shore's mom and daddy got their receipt for the year, if you want to call it that, it said, Brent Shore, Faith Promise Missions, $25. And mom and daddy's sitting there thinking, where in the world did a little boy get $25? I think Brent was 9 years old. Daddy's thinking, maybe he's been stealing money out of my wallet. Maybe he's been taking money out of the drawers. Maybe he's been getting money from his older brothers and sisters. So they brought little Brent in and sit him down and said, Brent, we understand you give $25 to the Lord this year to missions. He said, yes, sir. Am I in trouble? We just want to know where you got $25. Don't you listen. Brent said, when I went to the altar that night, I asked the Lord to not only help me pay the light bill, but Lord, provide the way that I could. And here's what Brent done. Brent's got a bunch of brothers and sisters. And a lot of times when they go out to a restaurant to eat, the daddy, Brother Mark, would give each one of his children money to get gumballs and candy out of the machine. Brent Shore, 9 years old, said, I'm going to take that money instead of buying gumballs and candy. I'm going to give it to missions. That's a little feller that just didn't want to have the light cut off. Please, Faith Bible Baptist Church. Please don't cut